Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 239, Resident Evil Apocalypse.
You are going to podcast.
We're all going to podcast?
Well, you're all going to die, so I figured you're all going to podcast.
Ooh, exciting. We're all going to podcast. That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited about this tagline. Let's make up a song about it. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously?
I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
Relax.
I don't know how to relax. I've never learned how. It doesn't work the same way as I've never learned how to read. How you doing, Cass?
I'm doing great. How are you, Carnage?
Good, except your computer keeps trying to get me to trust it, and I don't trust it.
Oh, yeah. It does that when you plug in a cord to
I know, but usually if you say don't trust it, doesn't stop, keep asking. Like, your computer is like really persistent.
Select to choose what happens with this device. Take no action. I don't want to look at your files.
I don't have anything anyway. I've got cute pictures of cats.
Oh, well, that's good.
I've got pictures. Let me see. I stop trusting you. I have pictures of recipes, pictures of cats,
pictures of recipes.
Yeah. I have one great video that's kind of funny, and that's basically it. Oh, I've got a lot of screenshots of the wallpaper of my phone because I accidentally screenshotted a lot. So, yeah, I've got that. Oh, and pictures of Wordle when I'm at the last word on Wordle, and I'm like, I got to take a screenshot of this in case I get it wrong so I know what letters I have left to use.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's what I got a lot of pictures of, so...
Wow, that sounds like you really live an exciting life.
I do. Shut the fuck up. My life never ceases to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I hate you so much right now. You know my life. You live in my life. Mm-hmm. You know my life's not exciting. My life's exciting as yours is.
Hey, my life is...
Say it.
Exciting.
Yeah, say it like you mean it. Say it like you're trying to convince our audience of it. Oh, do you hear that wind?
Yeah.
That wind's more exciting than you are.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway, how's it going this week?
Great. I've just been working on my Skyrim Let's Play videos.
Had to get that in before we even pimped, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the audience about what you're doing?
I'm just making Skyrim Let's Play videos.
I understand the word video and all of that, so yeah,
that's okay. So I'm playing the game Skyrim and I'm recording it,
mm-hmm,
in little like 45 minute episodes and putting them on YouTube where other people can watch them.
Nice.
My username is Adventuring Hedgehog
because you have hedgehogs and you like to adventure.
Yeah, exactly.
When do you adventure ever?
In
except
Skyrim.
On Skyrim. Okay, yeah, there you go. Got it. I figured it out.
Well, hey, sometimes I have to go to the store, and that's a lot of excitement for my brain.
That is. No, I get it. I understand. Trust me. All right. Well, that's good that you're doing that. I'm so glad you got to pimp that before we even got to the pimping.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Is that all you've been up to this week?
That and looking at jobs, you know.
How's that going?
Not going great. Even if I do find stuff that I think I want to apply for, then I like read the company reviews and the company reviews are terrible. And I'm just like, okay.
As long as it's a 3.5 or better, you're okay.
Yeah, no.
Because there's always going to be that one or two dicks. Like my company's got like a 3.5 on Yelp because this one douchebag. Okay, so I got to bitch about Yelp for a second. This one douchebag had a problem. So he reviewed on Yelp. It's the only review he's ever made on Yelp, and Yelp's algorithm says, we're going to keep this review. Mm-hmm. The 49 five-star reviews that we've gotten, Yelp has decided, yeah, we're not going to keep any of these reviews. We're going to put those hidden. I'll show you later. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yelp's algorithm is so fucked up. So, yeah, we've got like a 3.5 for our company, but 49 five-star reviews and one one-star review.
Wow.
It's bullshit.
That is BS.
That's what I'm just saying. Don't take the reviews of those companies. Take them with a grain of salt.
Well, I don't just go by what it says on the star rating. I actually read the reviews and see what they're saying about the company.
Got it. Like Son of Satan owns this company.
Like Well, the one was like, oh, well, you know, the people are really nice, but you'll get reprimanded in public and they create a false sense of urgency and there's a lot of micromanaging. And I was like, check, please.
Pass.
Because, right, like, I don't do well being micromanaged.
I hear there's a lot of positions opening up at Twitter, if you're interested.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I know. I've heard that, too. Fortunately, I don't think I have any of the skills they're looking for, nor do I want to work 12-hour days, 7 days a week.
Yeah, pass. Pass, pass, pass. Oh, God, I love it. Anyway, do you want to tell them who we are and what we do?
Sure. We are They Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 25 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks, and usually they are because we want to share them with you, our lovely audience, but sometimes they are revenge or prevenge picks, because that's where our hashtag friendship goals lives, in the hashtag Mariana's Trench of Hate, where we have our very own octagon where we go to duke it out when we don't see eye to eye on movies. Spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
That's true. That's
true. You were warned.
This week it was Resident Evil Apocalypse. It was done in 2004. It got an R rating, 1 hour and 34 minutes long, and a 6.1 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
Tomato meter is a green splotch at a 19%. Critics' consensus, Resident Evil Apocalypse has lots of action, but not much in terms of plot or creativity. Audience score, 60%.
Nice. Nice. Should we do a little casting? Let's do some casting.
Sure. Let's talk about the cast.
Big cast for this one.
We've got Alice as Mila Jovovich.
She's in all the Resident Evils, The Fifth Element, and Hellboy.
Jill Valentine was Sienna Guillory.
Aragon, Love Actually, and Don't Hang Up.
Carlos Oliveira was Oded Fair.
Love him. He was in the Mummy movies, Deuce Bigelow, and Inescapable.
Love him. Oh, my gosh. Mm. Angela Ashford was Sophie Vavasour.
She's in Evelyn, Becoming Jane, and The Seed.
Peyton was Razak Adodi.
He's in Dune, Black Hawk Down, and Amistad.
Really apologize if I said that name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ashford was Jared Harris.
He's in Chernobyl, The Crown, and Lincoln.
LJ was Mike Epps.
He was in The Hangover, Next Friday, and How High, and Friday After Next.
Terry Morales was Sandra Holt.
She's in Sorry for Your Loss, Air, and Terminator Genesis.
Nikolai was Zach Ward.
Scott Farkas! He was in the Christmas... I'm so sorry. I get so excited about him. He is in A Christmas Story, Freddy vs. Jason, Sharknado, Heart of Sharkness. And he was in an episode of She Spies that we love.
Nice.
And every time I see him on the screen, no matter what he's in, I have to call him Scott Farkas.
Scott Farkas.
And I'm so excited because there's a new movie coming out this year, and he's Officer Scott Farkas in it. So I can't wait to see this movie.
I can't wait. And Dr. Isaacs was Leon Glenn.
He was, is it Ian? How do you pronounce his name? It's I-I-A-N. How do you pronounce that?
Oh, I thought it said L-I-A-N.
See, no, it's an I-I-A-N. It's a capital I, lowercase I-A-N. Is it Ian? Ian? I don't even know. It's Irish, I believe, or Scottish. But anyway, he was in Games of Thrones, Jack Taylor, and The Flood. And little note of his name is Dr. Isaacs. After Jason Isaacs, who was originally the doctor that was going to be in these movies, you saw him in the first movie, you heard his voice, you saw his eyes at the very end where he says, take him to Raccoon City. I want this one for the Genesis program. He couldn't do any more of the movies because of scheduling, so they named this character Dr. Isaacs after him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's friends with Paul Anderson. Do you want a summary, though, for this movie?
I would love one of Carnage's famous five-second summaries.
You're going to love this one. Stupid motherfucker Dr. Glenn reopens the hive and things go awry.
Yeah.
Dr. Isaacs, not Dr. Glenn, sorry.
Dr. Isaacs, that's totally on him. And things do go awry. Very adept. I mean, what an idiot.
Okay. You know what's down there, Dr. Isaacs.
Yep.
You know what came back.
Yep.
You know one of them is mutating already. Mm-hmm. And yet you want to open the hive.
Yeah.
You dumb piece of shit. And you open it up with scientists, not even like people like One and Rain, like, you know.
Right.
People with guns.
Right.
And military training. You open it with scientists who could just say, oh, fuck, and then die.
Yeah. Not, I mean, it's not like they didn't have military types. It's Umbrella Corporation. We established in the first movie, they have lots of security.
Stars. I'm just kidding. Sorry. I love that. Yes. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You went quiet.
I started to disassociate.
Oh, okay. All right. It's fun for me. It's fun for you, too.
Yeah.
It's fun for everyone.
I did it this morning, too.
Did you?
All of a sudden, mom goes, where did you go? Like, I was very far away.
Well, anyway, they open the hive up. And, of course, these fuckers, you have zombies. You have lickers. You have what Matt is now, which is
Nemesis.
They've taken Alice and injected her with the T-virus
yep.
to a lethal dose. So she's like Superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
But we see her leaving the hospital. And when you see her leaving the hospital, you see like just deserted. Deserted streets.
Yes.
Empty, broken, vandalized stores. Shit like that. It kind of leaves off where the last one left off at.
Right. It does.
But we see a little bit before that where you see, Jill Valentine. She's our new heroine.
Kind of.
Sub-heroine, I'm going to call her. Like what Rain was.
Yeah.
And she's been suspended, but they call all off-duty officers back into the office, blah, blah, blah. She grabs her guns, tell them all to leave. She's like, leave. Like, I don't know how she knew, but this was happening.
Yeah.
I've warned you guys. This is going to happen. Like,
they keep insinuating that she's figured something out before this and has warned everyone at the station about it, but nobody believed her.
Which I don't know how she had any inkling of anything. Was she dating, like, one of the scientists or something? Or was she undercover? Or did she know?
Doesn't seem like it.
No. I don't know how she knew. Like, just movie magic. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it goes into that more in the video game and actually gives her like a plausible reason. I don't know. They didn't put it in the movie, if so.
I know, it's bullshit. But as she's trying to convince people to leave, Umbrella Corporation is getting their higher-ups out the fuck out of Raccoon City before yep. it shuts down. They get Ashford out and they say, oh, well, my daughter, well, we're going to pick her up from school. What's the one car that gets into a wreck on the way out of Raccoon City?
That one?
Angela Ashford's. So as everyone's shutting down Raccoon City, they've closed off the one bridge that leads them in and out. Apparently, there's only one way in and out of Raccoon City is by this one bridge. It's like Mackinac Island, I guess. I don't know. They don't have horse and buggies, so maybe it's not quite like Mackinac Island. You know, not as whimsical, but. So Jill finds Peyton at this bridge. They're trying to get out before the zombies fucking infect them all. And the fucking dicks on the bridge are opening fire. Get away from the bridge. Get away from the barricade. And Umbrella Corporation gives them permission to just open fire on them.
Yeah.
So the civilians are running wild. There's some zombies in there that are biting people. Peyton gets bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Peyton, Jill, and the one reporter, Terry Morales, who are kind of running together. And they run into a church for cover.
Right.
Meanwhile, you've got these two. Are they stars? Nikolai, Yuri, and
I thought that they were. I thought they were Umbrella Corp.
Oh, they are Umbrella Corp. Okay. They've been dropped on the ground with other Umbrella Corps trying to population control the zombies, basically. Well, they get left down there. And Dr. Ashford reaches out to both these groups. Oliviera and Nikolai first, saying that his daughter's somewhere in Raccoon City and he will get them out if they can get her. Meanwhile, Jill and Peyton and Terry are at this, and Terry's a reporter. She's filming this whole thing. She's going to get her Emmy this way, of course, because journalists got a journal.
Right.
And they go to this church where there's this guy who doesn't want to let them in because he's a complete dick. But he's soon eaten by a licker, which is just fucking great. priest is keeping his zombified sister there, who soon gets eaten by a zombified sister. And then there's three lickers just kind of waiting to kill them all.
Yeah.
But in comes Alice, who has stolen clothes from one of the vandalized stores and gotten a gun from the cop car and somehow stolen a bike. And she drives that bike right through the fucking stained glass windows of the church somehow to save them all.
Yeah.
Because she knew they were there.
Yeah.
Because she knew there were three lickers there she had to kill.
Yeah.
And she kills them.
I don't know. The only thing I can think as far as that is concerned is that she has some kind of special eyesight or something. I don't know how she knew those things.
Telepathic power maybe connected with them. Like how she's kind of connected to Nemesis a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know.
This movie makes you suspend your disbelief quite a bit. Like the first one, I'm there for. This one, there's problems. Because, let's get back to it. Because as soon as she gets them out of the church, they're going through a cemetery and all these people come out from under the ground. How do they become zombified? I need to know this chaos.
Who?
The people in the graveyard. All the buried people. Remember how they're walking through the cemetery?
Well, the T-virus is airborne.
Would it affect people that have already been dead for decades or years? Or
yeah.
Oh, really?
I guess.
And
I
if mean, it's airborne, how is a fucking barricade going to keep it out of Raccoon City?
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't. I know. I'm just saying. Plots. Plots.
I don't know. Jill Valentine wasn't even in Resident Evil 2, so... I just looked it up. She's in a lot of the games, but she's not in Resident Evil 2.
I don't think these follow the games very well at all.
They don't. She was in the original Resident Evil.
Well, I think that's why they brought her in here, because she wasn't in the movie.
Right.
They had Rain in the movie instead as your badass woman. I do like that they encourage badass women in this movie.
They do.
I do like that. Meanwhile, so they get the phone call soon after that up from Ashford as well, trying to get someone to find Alice. Not Alice. Angela.
Angela, the daughter of the scientist, yes.
And he's located her in the school. So they're all trying to go to the school.
Yeah, because he'll get them out if they find her. Did you say that?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
So Alice's group runs into LJ, who was hiding with a group full of stars until Nemesis was released. Nemesis' primary operative right now is to kill all stars members.
Yes.
Which is pretty great. I like this scene because there's this stars member who's just shooting, picking zombies off as a sniper. He's got a sniper vest and a billboard and he's picking zombies off. And then LJ comes in to where there's 12 other stars members. And then you got Nemesis and he fucking grenade launches the guy in the billboard. Yeah. Stars. And I know I'll say this throughout this whole movie, but that's my favorite thing from him the whole time. Stars. My brother and I will say, we'll watch the movie. We'll be like stars throughout the whole movie. So we're 12. My brother and I both are.
Yeah, you are.
Shut up. He goes and then kills all the stars. Like he can see which ones are star members and which one's a civilian. And he kills all the stars members and leave LJ alive. Like he leaves LJ alive. Because it wasn't his goal.
Right. He sees LJ as no threat. LJ throws down his weapons and he's just like, okay, zero threat.
This motherfucker's a custom.
Yeah. That's right.
So he ends up, Nemesis goes away from there. He leaves LJ and he runs into Alice's group. And this is where Peyton turns. Mm-hmm. Jill's got to shoot him in the head because he was bitten. So by Peyton.
By Peyton.
Alice is going to take on Nemesis, and LJ has stolen a car and picks up Terry and Jill, and they make it to the school. Well, Alice has a little epic fight with Nemesis where it doesn't go very well.
No.
They both retreat. They're both wounded. But she got him away from the rest of the group. That was her primary goal, is to get away from the others. So he meets up with them at the school. Meanwhile, I'm going to call him Alice's group, which is easier. Alice and Jill's group have met. And Nikolai.
Mm-hmm.
Nikolai sacrifices himself because Terry's been killed. And Jill finds Angela. She's killed by all those little children zombies. It's great.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
So Jill finds Angela and the dogs, the zombified dogs, because the canine unit was out front, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And the dogs got zombified again. You have to have the zombie dogs. Every fucking movie, you have to have the zombie dogs.
Oh, apparently. Yeah, you do. They have to be Dobermans, and they have to be zombified.
Why couldn't they just be like poodles for once?
Oh, that'd be hysterical.
Or like a little chihuahua. Oh, my God. I would kill for a zombie chihuahua. That'd be great.
Oh, a zombie. What are those dogs called? They're like orange colored with the little nub tails and...
A terror.
No. A corgi. Oh, a zombie corgi. I want a zombie corgi.
Okay, that wouldn't do anything. It would just kind of like waddle along and just like
It'd be so over. Cute.
Anyway.
I think corgis are adorable.
They're okay.
They're adorable. The way they have little butt wiggles when they wag their nub.
Okay, that is cute. But Nikolai sacrifices himself to get Angela out.
Right.
Poor Scott Farkas.
I know. I love Scott. And I was all like, oh, man, we were just getting to know his character, too. And it's like, bam, he's gone.
I know. I love Nikolai. I wish he could have lasted. You know, I like Olivier. Don't get me wrong, but I wish both of them could have lived.
Yeah.
So, because I just love Zach Ward. I'm a Zach Ward lover. So, all right. So they meet up. LJ's met up with Olivier, you know, and the four of them meet up again. And they've got Angela. They're going to get the fuck out of Dodge. Well. Alice blows that Angela blows it wide open that Angela is highly infected.
Yeah.
Her dad originated the T virus. Did anyone say what she has? I think it's polio probably. Like, what is it that her dad has and that she was never going to be able to walk either?
I don't know.
Some kind of disease.
Polio is curable. I don't know.
So whatever it is that her, it's a genetic disease and that only by injecting the T virus, it's allowed Angela to walk. So she's highly infected too. So Angela is highly infected and she, you know, of course has to then tell everyone that Alice is too. Like they rat each other out about it.
Yeah.
But luckily Angela's lunchbox has the T virus in it or
the
antivirus.
Antivirus in it. Yeah.
Which thank goodness she has that because Liviera was bit.
That's right.
Good timing. Too bad they couldn't have done it for Nikolai. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know about it then.
Well, Ashford then releases, you know, where they can get the fuck out. Yep. You know, there's a helicopter leaving in 45 minutes on the roof of this building. Well, as soon as he disconnects from them, bad doctor has really, you know, revealed that we know who you are. We know what you've been doing this whole time. And this is perfect because we're going to have a showdown between Nemesis and Alice.
Yeah.
So they set it up where Alice and her group get up there. Excuse me. Major Kane, not Dr. Isaacs, but Major Kane.
Major Kane.
Major Kane.
Sounds like something.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So Major Kane gets his people and he just zip ties the whole group. And he is going to have Nemesis have a face down with... This is what they've been waiting for. This is what they've been the culmination
right.
of everything. Yes, they infected a whole fucking city to have these two fight each other. That makes perfect fucking sense.
As you do.
Yes, let's kill a whole city and possibly the entire population because now it's airborne.
Right.
So it can jump the, you know, ocean.
Right.
Whatever. And they fight, but something in Nemesis remembers Alice as kind of like an ally.
Right, because he's Matt.
He's mad.
From the first movie.
And so he turns and he kills all the soldiers.
Yep.
And then he kills Kane. Well, Kane's on the helicopter, but they kick him off to be dealt with zombies.
Right.
Which is Dr. Ashford, because he's shot a bullet through Dr. Ashford's head.
Yeah, nice.
To make Alice fight with Nemesis.
Right.
But it's great, though, because Ashford becomes a zombie, and he's the first one that bites Major Kane.
Yes. Major Kane has a gun, but he uses up all his bullets on the zombies, and then he tries to shoot himself, and he's like, and it just click, click, clicks, and he's like, that. Oh, shit. And he gets eaten by zombies because he deserves to be.
So Umbrella Corp's releasing this bomb on Raccoon City because nuking it from orbit's the only way to be sure.
That's right.
And because of this, though, they're not outside the blast zone and their helicopter goes down.
Yeah.
Alice puts herself in the way of a flying object to protect Angela and gets like
impaled.
Yeah. Right through the stomach.
Ow.
And they only find her body when they find the crash site.
Yeah.
Which they reanimate.
Right. They save her and they put her back in the program. And then they wake her back up. Well, actually, she hears Angela's voice, right?
Yeah.
Saying, Alice, wake up. Alice, wake up. And she wakes up and she's in a tank of fluid.
Very Alien 4.
Hooked up to machines. Yes, very Alien 4. They let her out and they're like just treating her like she's just a subject with no free will or anything.
Or no memory.
And no memory.
What's her name? Oh, she doesn't remember her name. Like, he's kind of like laughing about it. Okay, well, she's like a dummy.
Yeah.
My name is Alice, and I remember everything.
Yeah.
And then she kicks the shit out of all of them.
Yep, and then she kicks the shit out of all of them.
Ooh. Even killing one. Like, there's a security guy. He's looking at a bank of, like, monitors. Mm-hmm. And all the screens turn to just Alice looking at him. And he starts bleeding out the nose and the eyes and kills him.
Yeah, she kills him with her mind, people.
I love it.
It's pretty epic.
And then as she's leaving, all these men with guns show up. But then LJ pulls up the car with Olivier and Jill. Oh, yeah, we're from Umbrella Corp, level 6, and we're to take her. And the last scene is them taking her to the car, and they're like, Alice, are you okay? Which I find this part kind of funny. Jill looks at her and says, what did they do to you? And in the next shot, Alice is looking out the window, and Jill's looking the other way. Well, why would you ask a question and look the other way and like just ignore? Like,
I know, it's so weird. Well, and they stopped at the exit, and like there's a checkpoint. And there's an exit and with a bar that goes down across the car to let people in and out.
Mm.
And it's not certain if they're going to let them pass or not when the doctor calls them and says, let them through.
Oh, he wanted her released.
Yep.
Oh, and then her eye changes to from the iris that it is to the umbrella logo.
Well, he says, initiate Project Alice.
Yeah.
And then her iris changes and dun, dun, dun.
To the next movie. Yep. Which will be soon. So, come on, I gotta get through all of them. Don't give me that look. It won't be very soon, I promise. I'll put some other stuff in between that you'll hate just as much, if not more. Stop moaning. Stop. All right. Thoughts?
And this was too much like a video game for me to enjoy.
Too much like a video game.
It was. Go to this place and fight something. Go to this place and fight something. Go to this place and fight something. Go to this place and have a mini boss fight. Go to this place and fight something. Go to this place and fight something. Go to this place and have a big boss fight. Go to this place and fight something. That's all it was.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah. Well, it's based on a video game. What do you expect?
I expect some plot. I expect some characterization. I expect movie things.
You expect too much.
No, I don't. Clearly. I don't think I do.
I think you do from this movie.
I do not think so.
Yeah.
No.
I think you do.
No.
Well, you get it in the next one, so the next one's better, right?
No.
Yeah? You get more character development.
Better than this one?
You get more character development.
No.
Yes.
No.
I disagree. I will fight you on this. I will die on this hill.
All right, fine. We're fighting.
I don't like it as much as the first one. Clearly, no. Like the first one is just the best out of all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to beat the first one. They're just not.
No.
This one, I don't care about Jill so much. Yeah, I love a badass woman, but I don't know. I just, I don't care about her.
Like, and she's like a major character in the games. And she's like one of the favorite protagonists in the whole series.
Right.
But you don't care about her in this movie.
No, it's like she's a character. Caricature. I can't talk. Shut up.
I was like, yeah, she's a character. What are you talking about?
No, caricature.
Mm-hmm.
She's like Betty Boop mixed with Sonya from Mortal Kombat. I mean, put her in a tube top, a low skirt, and some knee-high boots, and there you go.
And it's funny because she wasn't like that in the video game. She was really under-sexualized in the video games, which people praised the video games for.
Which is surprising because now she's over-sexualized.
Yeah.
Like, who wears a tube top for that long? Seriously.
I know.
And in that many fight scenes. No.
No.
It's going to fall. You're going to have nip slip. You can't go without it. I'm sorry. Unless you are super glued or Gorilla glued into that tube top, there's going to be a fucking wardrobe malfunction. It's just going to happen.
I know. And the idea was that she was coming from something fancy and she had to drop what she was doing and rush out there. And that's why she's in this ridiculously sexy outfit.
Oh, I thought she was coming from a night of clubbing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Something fancy.
That's like, not fancy.
Fancier than going to work.
I was going to say, since when is clubbing fancy? Like, I'm thinking fancy like ball gown, you know? Like,
she's going to be fancier than when she's just going to work.
Fancy's a strong word.
Oh my God, whatever.
I don't know. I just don't associate fancy with clothes. I don't just get
Well, she's dressing up. She's dressed up. That's what I meant.
Yeah, she's dressed.
She's dressed up.
For a different, yeah.
She's not dressed events. For work. That's gotcha. That's how they get around her. Well, this is why she's so sexy.
Of course. Of course.
It's lame.
Which they didn't have to sexualize Rain.
Nope.
They don't have to sexualize... Not Kmart. What the fuck's her name in the next one? Chris? Claire. So I don't know why they had to sexualize Jill. And they don't sexualize Jill later either. When you see her in the next one, you know?
I don't know.
Whatever. They've always sexualized Alice. It is what it is. So,
yeah.
Because, of course, you know, by the time she's at the end, she's got one of her pants is like a booty short and the other one's like a regular pant. I mean, it's definitely a fashion statement for sure. I don't know what the fashion statement is, but it's something.
I don't know. I know. I was noticing her wardrobe as, like, after she ran down the building.
Uh-huh.
I was like... What is with her wardrobe?
She lost a leg of her pants somewhere. I don't know where she lost it. I can't even pinpoint where the fuck she lost it at.
Only part of it, too, because she still had, like, the bottom half of the leg, like strapped to her leg. What? It was like a tourniquet or something. I don't know. It was really weird.
Anyway. All right. Well, should
anyway.
I use fan fiction?
Yeah. Are there any fan fiction?
There is surprisingly a lot. Well, not surprisingly. I mean, it's for the whole Resident Evil series, but I love what some of the ones are crossed with, like crossed with Harry Potter, crossed with Twilight, crossed with the Terminator, High School Musical, Kill Bill, Aliens, James Bond, Sonic the Hedgehog, Lord of the Rings, My Little Pony, Grand Theft Auto, which I can kind of see that because LJ was treating it like Grand Theft Auto, Lion King. That's probably the best one. Friday the 13th, Hunger Games, The Hobbit, and Glee. Thank you, Glee.
That's hilarious. Glee.
Glee. All right.
Is Alice a Gleek?
Apparently. No, Jill Valentine is.
Oh, okay. So. do you want to rate?
Yeah, this is my pick, so I don't like it as much as the last one. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not my favorite. I'm going to give it like a 5.13, I think. I mean, I'll watch it if it's there, but I don't choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 5. I would not watch it again unless I had to, which is why I watched it again. And that's about it. It's a 5 for me.
All right. Well, should we just get the fuck out then?
Sure. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. MorbidlyBeautiful.com is your place for all things horror, and they have a great podcast network, which you should totally check out if you're looking for other quality horror podcasts. You might find something you like even as much as us. Hardy har har. So we are on all the social medias. If you want to interact with us, we have a Facebook group, a Twitter, an Instagram, a Good Pods, and a Slasher at Podcast at Night everywhere. So go ahead and interact with us. We're primarily interactive on Instagram, but we also do enjoy the Facebook group. We would really appreciate a review wherever you listen. It doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes. No big deal. Just a quick review. Really appreciate it. Gets more listeners on the show. And we have a merch store if you're interested. That'll be linked in the show notes, as everything is. And so that's it from me, Chaos. I'll just say thank you for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of undead kitties.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky. Okay.